Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. The Score celebrates 30 years. WSCR in HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's voice of the fan for 30 years. In Odyssey Station. The Score!
Bye-bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
A big thanks to Steve Stone, who joined us on today's show. Thank you to Sierra Santos, who is going to be hosting Quick Pitch on MLB Network this season. Make sure that you check it out. She's going to do a great, great job. Tomorrow, we will preview the Bulls game against the Bucks with Cody Westerlund. Yeah, we're going to do that, and maybe the White Sox will have made a move by then to get themselves a starting pitcher. Who knows? You would think that they would be in the market, and Stoney said they were, that they were close on Manaea. I think they needed at least, I thought they needed a starting pitcher before Lance Lynn got hurt. So, I think they need two, but getting two at this point would be pie in the sky. Matt Spiegel is going to be on the play-by-play of the Cubs preseason game, which we will carry in about an hour. Until then, Danny Parkins has to, his shoulders and his back is going to hurt. He's going to have to carry the show for an entire hour. Hello, Danny.
Hello, Lawrence. Don't worry. Spiegs is going to join us around 2:40.
Is he really? You're going to make him work extra?
He booked himself, Lawrence. He swear to God, he texted the group chat and said, "Hey, I was working the clubhouse today, and if you guys would like, I could jump on and do a quick scene setter from the booth." He loves that he's the play-by-play voice of the Cubs for 4 days.
He really does, but he should. He should love being the play-by-play guy of the Cubs for 4 days.
Of course he should. He's a lifelong baseball guy. It's a bucket list baseball title.
It's like the coolest thing in the world to do.
Yes, I agree. It's funny seeing our guy Spiegs in that element, and he's like a scene setter from the booth. Like, dude, spring training. We got an hour show. Lance Lynn got hurt. The Bulls lost to another good team. But yes, we will put you on for a scene setter from the booth. I swear, I was driving around on Saturday. I was listening to Spiegs, and he was doing a great job. And he came back from a break, and he said, you know, he said the score, he said the inning, he said, and then he said, "I'm Matt Spiegel.
Yeah.
Your play-by-play Huckleberry for the next 4 days."
Yeah.
And then there was action, and so he didn't even introduce Elise Menneker.
Oh.
Like, he got to her afterwards or whatever, but I just love the idea of, like,
this is the Spiegel show now. Cubs baseball is the Spiegel show.
And the Cubs baseball is an afterthought, baby. It's the Spiegel show. And he is just there, and my man is in his element, and I am so happy for him. But I just love the idea of, like, someone driving around, you know, Southern Illinois, just looking for a spring training update, and the play-by-play guy is telling you that he's your Huckleberry for the next 4 days, as if the main story is who the play-by-play broadcaster is. Oh, God, I loved it so much.
Well, the main story is probably Seiya Suzuki over the last couple of games.
You would think, but not in the eyes of Matt Spiegel's the main story in the eyes of Matt Spiegel.
Damn right, he's the main story.
Yeah, no, but Suzuki, listen, on Wednesday's show, and I don't want to give away too much of it.
He's going to be on the show?
No, that would be awesome. No, but what Wednesday, as long as there are no weather cancellations, Wednesday's our only normal show this week.
Oh, that's right.
Because 2 day games to start the regular season, Thursday, Friday. We're carrying a spring game today and a spring game tomorrow. But Speaks has a secondary assignment when he's out in Arizona, and that is on Wednesday's show, I want him to sell me and the other Cubs fans in our audience on, like, basically be a hype man. Like, can you sell me on this season? Like, because I'm struggling a little bit with opening day excitement, with the caveat of other than Seiya Suzuki. Because Suzuki's easy, man. Suzuki is exciting. He could be a superstar. He already is a superstar in Japan. Five-year deal. He chooses the Cubs. They make the financial commitment. Like, you know, I'm there with you on Stroman. I still love Hendricks and Contreras as players, but they're clearly like not enough. This team's not very good. So I'm hoping that he can do his vibes thing and sell us Cubs fans on being excited about opening day and beyond.
I heard Cody and Bernstein talking about this before I jumped in on the front end of transition for me. And it was an interesting question. I was curious of someone that watches with heart in hand watching the Cubs play. What do you think of Rossi tactically as a manager? Or is there not enough data for you to really know yet?
Yeah, you know, I heard the question too, and Cody was real quick to say that he liked it. I don't mean this for it to be a cop-out. Don't you have to manage in big games for me to be able to answer that question?
Like, yes, you have, probably. Like,
I feel like you have to manage in big games with expectations and with a good bullpen for me to be able to answer that question honestly, because like I don't think that there has been a team that David Ross has had as the manager of the Cubs that if you put the best four managers in the history of baseball all on one coaching staff and then gave them that roster, that they would be able to work some sort of magic to have them, you know, be a division winning or playoff advancing team. So it's hard for me to answer that question when he hasn't really managed a team with expectations or a bullpen yet.
Yeah, I think that that's probably a fair way to look at it. Like, let's see what happens when you're in some of those tense moments. Although there were a couple of them, and we brought it up last year, like that stretch of games that they lost last year.
Yeah, the 11 game. Yeah,
yeah, that first game. Like, I feel like we were talking before like that series started last year against Milwaukee, and we were both like, you know, this is probably where the rubber meets the road. And little did we know that what would then happen is the Cubs would get a 7-0 lead in the first inning of a game and then lose the game and get doubled up.
Yeah. That was a weird one. The whole season, though, was weird, man, because I remember doing like what this conversation that we are having and that I want to have with Speaks on Wednesday, like having it before last year and him being like, no, I think this team's going to be pretty good. And I'm like, man, they're going to trade everybody.
Well, they were pretty good through the first 100 games.
I know, but they also traded everybody,
and I feel like they were really, really bad.
Yeah, like I feel like there was like such a there was just like a pall that was cast over the entire thing. Like there was we knew it was coming. We knew the end was coming, and I think that like once they got into that tailspin last year, there was no way to pull out of it. And even the bright spots from last year, I don't know what to do with a Frank Schwindel and a Patrick Wisdom, because they're nice stories, but like, are they meaningful players on like, as Jed keeps talking about, like the next great Cubs team? I don't know, because of their age. Like, I feel like that's more about the top 10 farm system, you know, and Crowell Armstrong and like the guys that they got in the trades, right? Like the younger dudes. And so I don't know. I'm struggling with what I think is on paper a pretty bad team with almost no expectations. And when I hear people talk about them, it's like, well, the Central's bad. Or playoffs have been expanded. It's like, well, okay. Well, so that's like the any given Sunday argument that we use about a football game. It's like, well, you know, if you get some turnover luck and a couple of penalties and the other team makes a few big mistakes and some unforced errors, you can win a game. Like, that's no way to go into a baseball season. So I don't know. I think it's going to be a weird season on the north side that's going to be more about individuals than about team.
Yeah, what you're talking about is, it's stuff that's not in their control that you're using to bolster their, and I'm guilty of it. Like, I look at it and I go, well, there's a division where you know for sure two teams aren't trying.
Right.
So the worst you can be is third. So you know that going in, that the worst that you can be is third. And then the question becomes, how close are you to the other two teams? And quite honestly, I don't think the other two teams in the division are that good. So I you're right. Like that's a damning with faint praise is what we're talking about when we start talking about the Cubs' opportunity to win inside of this division.
And it's just not what it has been. Like, you know what, like part of what 15 to 19, right? 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, those five seasons was about like resetting everything. Resetting standards, expectations, erasing lovable losers, all of that. Like, and I'm not ready to just go back to being like, well, you know, if they could be 500 and finish in first, and like, no, man, that's not what it's supposed to be. Like, I get it. I get why they are where they are, and it's not about blame or anything like that, but like, it's just when you had the greatest era of the history of the franchise in the very, very recent past, and you know, because you do have some trust and Jed has some equity within the fan base, that he's like, man, it's not going to be that long. It's not going to be, you know, a 5-year rebuild and a teardown. Like, I expect to not be having this conversation opening day of next year around the Cubs.
Yeah, you know? I think that you would be furious if you're having this conversation again next year about the Cubs.
Right. Well, and it would be ridiculous to sign Stroman to a 3-year deal to not try to have 2 years of contention. So, like, I guess if this it's a fan point, I suppose, but like, I'm okay being a little patient. You know, like next year there will be expectations. This year, if I'm pleasantly surprised, that's cool. I love going to Wrigley. I love watching Cubs games. There are definitely a bunch of individual stories, but it's not I don't feel like I have to fake like the hype or the enthusiasm or the hope for the 2022 Cubs season until they prove it to me. Because the payroll is what it is. The Vegas win total is what it is. Man, they're going to trot out there Kyle Hendricks, Justin Steele, Marcus Stroman, Drew Smyly as your top four. That's not great. If Hendricks reverts to form and Stroman is in his prime, maybe it's okay. But like we talked about this a few weeks ago. They don't have a strength on paper.
And offense, you're right.
They don't have a bullpen strength, a starting pitching strength, or an offensive strength.
They're kind of okay defensively.
Yeah. Yeah. And, right. It's very, very tough relative to recent expectations to get super pumped about it. Can I take like an abrupt right turn? Because I know you have to go, but
sure.
I just wanted to ask you a question that I am not capable of answering. I know nothing about wrestling. I care nothing about wrestling. But I do love storylines and media. Is what Pat McAfee did yesterday incredible, or am I crazy?
It's one of the most amazing guest spots that I've ever seen at WrestleMania.
Okay.
What he did, his performance last night was earth-shatteringly good. Like, it was, you expect there to be someone, like, you're kind of bringing someone out there to be a name, and the idea of having a special guest, like they're supposed to be, it's supposed to be fun. He was actually doing actual wrestling spots.
He did a backflip off the top rope and landed it, and then jumped back onto the top rope and landed it.
You can tell that it's
unbelievable.
He loves this, and he put 100% into it. Like what he did last night is amazing. Like it was, I was watching it going, wow. Like he went for it. Like some people go for it. Like you come on there, you do your guest spot, you take your bump, and then you either win the match, like, or you walk out of there going, oh, I did it at WrestleMania. No, he performed as if he were a trained wrestler from WWE's power plant and got his opportunity and nailed it. I'm sure that there are plenty of full-time wrestlers that saw Pat McAfee and was like, damn, he just took my spot. That's how good he was.
Okay, cool. I was really hoping that was what your answer was going to be, but I have absolutely no ability to speak on it. But like what I saw and the clips I saw, I don't even really listen to the show. I see some clips and like I just respect his media rise so much and his personality, and it's genuine and he's charitable and he takes care of his people. But like you get a 4-year, $120 million deal from FanDuel and you're still grinding like that on the side for your second job. Like that, oh, man, I have so much respect for that
guy. He never has to wrestle again. He'll always have that on his resume. He's like, I hate to be this guy and be hyperbolic. He's already a WWE legend for what he did yesterday.
Okay, awesome. And that, thank you. That is great. Thank you. I had no ability to like contextualize what I saw, but I absolutely loved what I saw and was totally blown away. I know you got to run, man. So I guess I'll just have to do the next.
Yeah,
50, man.
You're on your own for the next until Speed shows up in a half an hour.
Yeah, and like Tanny, like in the call was like, got this, and this. I'm like, man, you guys are the best. I don't even know why they pay me. And I hope Mitch wasn't listening to that. Lawrence, have a good one, man. Appreciate you.
Thanks. I'll talk to you tomorrow.